Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've had a great day and a great weekend. If you missed any of last hour, Dr. Marcus Bachmann joined me, and we talked about pain and suffering, and we also asked about the eternal perspective associated with pain and suffering. God has a purpose and a plan for everything. But when I talk to people who are, they don't know much about God, they're starting to kick the tires maybe of Christianity, one of the things they're going to ask is God good? Because there certainly seems to be a lot of evil in the world and lots of problems and suffering. And the other question they seem to ask is, can he be trusted? So I don't know if you have ever tempted to doubt God's goodness when you face suffering. So maybe you have. But today I've got a nice opportunity to continue this conversation with Ken Samples. And Ken is a philosopher and a theologian. So we're going to continue this discussion from a uniquely different angle. Ken loves the great doctrinal truths of Christianity. He loves to apply reason and logic. He's a philosopher and a theologian and author of several books, including Christianity Cross-Examined, Classic Christian Thinkers, and God Among Sages. He's a senior research fellow at the Reasons to Believe. You can go to reasons.org. Ken's nice enough to come on monthly. Always glad to have him on. Ken, happy April. I think it's April.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. Have you gotten your taxes done yet?
I have.
Good for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. So in Africa, there's a pretty unique way of how they greet one another. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was listening to my pastor's sermon a few weeks ago, and he gave a great sermon about, you know, addressing the question of pain and suffering. And as you said in your opening, everybody suffers. You know, if you haven't yet, I've got bad news for you. Mm. You will in some way or another. But he talked about African Christians, that they have a way of greeting each other where one will say, God is good all the time. And the response is, all the time, God is good. And I know that that's also shared in Pentecostal Black churches here in America. So it has a long connection. And I think you're exactly right. I think that's one of the most important attributes of God, is God's basic goodness.
Well, Ken, I would agree too, but when you are in the middle of suffering or pain or discouragement or heartbreak, it is hard to stay focused on the goodness of God when you feel like you may not be receiving everything you need to survive this set of circumstances.
Well, I think that's right. And I think lots of Christians, including myself, I've had a couple times where I've had very serious health issues, and I've also lost loved ones, and it was a difficult time. And, you know, the way I like to think about it, Bill, is that if God were just loving and he weren't just, that wouldn't work out. Nor would it, if God were just holy, but he was not loving, that wouldn't work out. And it seems to me what brings together both God's holiness and his love is his fundamental goodness. And it's very important to think of God as he has revealed himself and be careful not to kind of change your theology when times are difficult, as it may be natural that a person would feel that way. But, you know, God's not good just sometimes. God's good all the time. And He's going to be especially good when we're going through difficult times, just as a parent would love and care for their child.
Mm-hmm. Ken Samples is my guest. He's a philosopher and theologian, and we're continuing our discussion today on, is God good all the time and pain and suffering? And what I think we have to be careful about is trying to say and encourage somebody that God is good all the time without sounding cliche, like we're just throwing out some little quick, easy, clean cliche. So how do we do yes. that well, Ken?
Well, you know, my book, Without a Doubt, which is kind of my signature book, it's a book on theology, it's a book on Christian apologetics, and it's been translated into the Indonesian language, it's been translated into the language of Pakistan, and so I've come to learn quite a bit about Christians who live in those countries. And for example, in Pakistan, it's 97% Muslim. And in Indonesia, they have the largest Islamic population of any country in the world. So, Bill, Christians there are in the minority. They have real limitations and they suffer persecution. And I think when African Christians greet each other that way, that God is good, yes, God is good all the time. Remember the backdrop. In Africa and other places in the world, Christianity is a minority. Christians suffer at the hands of secularists. They suffer at the hands of radical Islam. So I don't think it's a cliche at all. And what's interesting, Bill, is while Christianity is not growing that much in the global north, it's growing rapidly in the global south. And many people have said by 2050, the largest population of Christians will be in places like China and places like Africa, where there's real persecution. So no, it's not a cliche when you realize these people face difficulties maybe on a day-by-day basis for their faith.
Ken, it's interesting where Christianity is moving around the world, and it changes. It seems like America has maybe not been as Christian-focused as it's been in the past. Is that your opinion as well?
It is my opinion. I mean, I love America. I love our history. I think in some respects, America is a grand, maybe even exceptional nation, but I think the data indicates, I mean, Barna says that maybe, you know, 6% of evangelicals hold a Christian worldview. I think we need, spiritual revival in our land.
Yeah, I would agree. Ken Samples is my guest. We're continuing our discussion. Is God good all the time? And if you have a question or a comment about the goodness of God because you've experienced it and you want to share that with others, I would love to hear from you. You can text it over to 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Ken, if anybody is going through discouragement or hurt today, maybe they're even confused about their identity or the loss of a loved one, a relationship, a job, finances. I mean, they can just be in a position today where they're thinking, what's going on, God? And if I'm a follower, if I'm a Christ follower, should there not be more goodness in my life? How do we sort all that out?
Yeah, this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is really, you know, the practical experience is people go through difficult times. They suffer pain. They suffer difficulties. What I love, Bill, is that Jesus said what no one has ever said. He said, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, I've studied Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. I've studied Confucius and Muhammad. I spent much of my adult life studying some of the great thinkers. Nobody ever said that before. Jesus said that in the midst of a storm, he can give you rest. In the midst of a, a, a divorce, in the midst of economic crisis, in the midst of cancer. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And I've suffered worry and difficulty, trial, but God has always been faithful to me. It hasn't always been easy, but God can give us rest.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I know you've gone through some personal issues, some health issues, and I'm not asking what they were, but I am curious if you have already been able to understand on any level the benefits of the suffering you went through.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I went through a period of suffering about a year and a half ago, and it was pretty intense. And I kind of almost felt desperate. And I'll tell you, Bill, one thing that was very powerful was I began reflecting on the life of our Lord. I began reflecting particularly on his last few days in his ministry. You know, he was kind of let down and abandoned by his apostles. You know, he suffered persecution. And I felt kind of desperate because I was experiencing a lot of pain, and I associated my pain and my sense of desperation with what he must have felt. And I think sometimes when we're able to take our little cross and see it within the context of his larger cross, I felt like I understood him. I felt like he and I had a connection in feeling a sense of desperation. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so, I don't necessarily want to go through that again, but I do believe that God delivered me. I feel like I experienced a cure. Medication was part of that process, but, you know, medication is a providential gift of God's grace. So I love that passage in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I was wearied. I was burdened, and I met the Lord in our suffering.
Mm-hmm. Ken, as a philosopher, you're gonna love this next question that just came in on our text line, and that's this: why don't you define God's definition of good first?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that's right. I think definitions really do need to come. So let me talk a little bit about God's goodness. I think we can see God's moral goodness, God's righteousness, his holiness. I think it's reflected in various ways. We're told that God is love. And only the triune God can be love, Bill, because you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there is analogous to a loving human family. A God who is all alone, Unitarianism, can't be a loving God. So we're told in Scripture that God is loving. We're also told in Scripture that God is gracious. He's generous. He gives us what we don't deserve and what we cannot earn. And so this goodness of God is a sense of benevolence and care and meeting people who don't deserve it and can't earn it. So those are the ways we see the attribute of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm. Ken Samples is my guest. Ken, can we gravitate both of us right over to Romans 8:28, that we know in all things God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So sometimes God's understanding of good may not be our understanding of good, because God works all things out together for good.
Well, that's exactly right. And what a remarkable promise that is, that there is a providential hand behind our life. Relationships may go through very difficult times. We may lose our jobs. Sometimes we're flush with money and sometimes we're not. We may suffer persecution. People in Pakistan and Indonesia and Africa regularly do. But God is working all things together for our good. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give me all the money I want or all the vacations but it means that God is working in my life to transform my character into the image of God, or to take that image that I'm created in, that's been tarnished by the fall, and perfect that. And again, that's a profound promise, that God won't leave me. He won't forsake me. He knows what it's like to suffer. God knows what it's like to suffer because the Son of God suffered. And, you know, therefore words like empathy take on great significance.
And Ken, you know, people, because I've had this, I'm sure you've had it, where they've gone through some really horrible experience. And after they've come out the other side, and it was truly horrible, they would say something to the effect that I didn't like going through it, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I think that's right. And that's certainly my experience. You know, in 2003, I had 6 abscess brain lesions. I contracted a rare bacterial infection. It went from my lung to my brain. A mortality rate for nocardia, which is what I had. It's called nocardia because it attacks the heart. My doctor said it's 80%, 80% don't survive. It was very difficult. It was a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, worry about my family, because at the time I was 45, had 3 small kids. But you know what, Bill, I would say that exactly same thing, that I don't want to return to that, but it transformed my life. It really allowed me to develop areas of compassion and concern. And when I'm on social media, I'm often looking for my friends who are suffering and who are hurting, because I know I've gone through something like that, and I can share something that can be very meaningful. So I think you're right. And these things are not cliche. These are not small things. To learn to be humble, to learn to be compassionate, to be empathetic, that is a real change in the character of a human being.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, don't we connect at our point of brokenness with one another?
I think we do. Mm-hmm. I remember, during the last Christmas season, it's a time of celebration. It's a time of gifts, parties, lights on the houses. But what I was thinking is, there are a lot of people that are hurting. There are a lot of people that are going through a difficult time, and they're supposed to feel happy. They're supposed to feel, that this is a fun time of life, but they don't. And so a lot of people walk around with a great deal of inner pain. And that's not only a place where you and I can connect, but that's a place where they and I and Christ can connect. And I think that's really what brought me through this recent health issue, where I felt like I felt something like the pain that Christ felt. And there was a bond.
Interesting. All right. Is God good all the time? That's our topic today with professor, theologian, and philosopher Ken Samples. You can learn more about Ken at reasons.org. That's reasons.org. If you have a question or comment, there's some great comments coming in, text them over, please, to 877-933-2484. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, following Jesus is not just something we do. It's who we are. We follow him because he's the savior of the world. He lived, he died, he rose again, and blew the doors off of the devil's claim on us. That's why we can live free, and we can share with others the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, it's our spring fundraising season, and we would love for you to join the Faith Radio family. Tell others about how God has changed your life. Be an ambassador for Christ as you share the good news. And then, if you feel so led, would you join the giving family now? You can do so by clicking on the link in the show notes, or simply give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com.
My guest today is Ken Samples. He's a philosopher and theologian that has the privilege of living in Southern California. Ken, have you ever been to Billings, Montana before?
Well, I've been to Yellowstone, so I don't know how far away that was to, but I love Montana.
Yeah, it's a great state. We just had Billings, Montana, a station join us today. Today's their first day of
Whoa.
being with us, and they can hear us at 93.3 in Billings, Montana. So we're excited that they've joined us, Faith Radio, and we're glad that they're hearing you today for the very first day on the air.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to suffering, and do we doubt God's goodness? And I think there are plenty of opportunities that we all have where we are wondering if God is hearing our prayers, if he's involved, does he care about us? And the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. But what are some of the benefits of suffering, Ken?
Yeah. Well, I want to say, first of all, that God gives us some great promises as we go through difficult times. He says that, and you touched on it with Romans 8:28. I recommend that entire chapter because God also says that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we have relationships here on earth. They're imperfect relationships. We go through difficulties, but God says that we will never, He will continue to love us. He will not allow pain, suffering, evil, death, the devil. None of those things are going to get in the way of us having fellowship with him. He works all things together for good. Those are very important elements. Now, suffering is very real. And how have Christians thought about, pain and suffering through the centuries? Well, one that's been very meaningful to me, and I remember reading this in St. Augustine, one of the great Christian church fathers, and it's the idea of the greater good view of suffering, that God allows suffering because God brings about a greater good behind it. And I think probably the best example of that is looking at the crucifixion. I mean, when you realize the horror of crucifixion, it's torture. It's not just, a mere death penalty. It's intended to torture the victim. Well, out of this catastrophic injustice where the Son of God, who is perfect, is put to death and is tortured, what comes out of that? Salvation is achieved through Jesus's suffering on the cross. And so this greater good, when you go through difficult times, you begin to realize, wow, I have the strength to face those issues. You begin to realize that you can't develop the virtue of courage unless you've got challenges. You can't develop, the benefits of wisdom without facing issues. And so God is in the business of transforming our character, and it would be nice if we could just take a pill and we would become self-controlled and courageous and wise, but that's not the way it is. It is living life. It is living life in relationship with God, and we begin to learn about Him, and we begin to learn about ourselves. This is why I think it's so important to recognize that people in other parts of the world, they readily go through difficult times. I mean, maybe one of the reasons why America is struggling spiritually is we haven't suffered the way other people have. Throughout Christian history, when the Christian church has suffered persecution, it has had a tendency to grow, not to die, not to fade away, but to grow. And so, suffering, Jesus suffered. We're his disciples. We're going to suffer. But there are benefits from suffering, growing spiritually, growing in our compassion and care for other people. and Ken, growing in our trust for the Lord.
Amen to that. Ken, a listener said two other evidences of God's goodness, and I love talking about God's goodness as we are today, are in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, and he will provide a way of escape when we are tempted. Boy, talk about goodness.
That's exactly right. And it touches on something that I think is very powerful. And building on that passage, God will not allow any of us to become satisfied in anything other than himself. And so, you know, you can get into the business of your philosophy being the accumulation of wealth, or you can get into the business of having as much sexual pleasure as you can, or you can get into the business of, wanting to have all the praise. But at the end of the day, inevitably, when people reflect, they say, is that all of there is? And think about God's goodness. He won't allow us to be satisfied in anything besides himself. That's a severe mercy. It hurts when we realize that, wow, I've done all these things and they don't make me happy. But God is telling us he loves us and we're destined to have our fulfillment in him. Indeed, I come back to that point, Bill. The goodness of God is a critical attribute, not just his power, not just his knowledge, not just the fact that he's everywhere present, but God's fundamental goodness is what we believe about the God who revealed himself in the Old Testament to Israel and the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth and lived and died and rose again.
Mm-hmm. Ken, I know you've got about 5,000 books in your library, way, way more than I have, but I'm curious as to how Christian scholars and thinkers throughout centuries have responded to the problem of evil.
Yeah, this is a very important one. I've already mentioned one, this greater good, but let me talk about some other things. Why does God allow suffering? Well, in giving people responsible choices in life. If God coerces us, if God kind of forces his self upon us, look at Israel. They had clear indication that God was with them. And of course, the disciples saw various ways in which God was there. But, the problem of evil, the problem of pain and suffering, people have choice in life. He gives us volitional choices. So the freedom of the will is part of this kind of dilemma. So we've looked, first of all, at the greater good approach. We can talk about the freedom that people have. And then thirdly, I think we can again talk about the transformation value. I mean, God changes us. God transforms us. And so much of the time, it is during difficult times. I mean, I love vacations. I love entertainment. But I haven't learned anything profound in those. It's during the difficult times that I begin to see that, wow, my character is changing, and for the good, because of God's grace.
Such a good point, Ken. Thank you for making that point. It is important to have a work-rest balance. If we don't do that well, we can end up in trouble. But you're right. I think most of the things you learn about yourself and what God wants to teach you about your character, it comes from difficulties and from suffering. And it's probably something the sooner we accept that is part of life, the easier it will be for us to say, Lord, what do you have for me in this? Versus wanting to run away from it as fast as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I've been reading 1 Corinthians 13 my entire adult life. And, I want to be a wise person. I want to be a good philosopher, a good theologian. But I also want to be a gracious and caring person. I want to be a loving father. I want to love my wife. You know, when I look through 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, essentially, you can comprehend the Trinity in the incarnation, but without love, you're nothing. I think, wow, well, how do I love my wife? By being patient, by being kind. That's not always easy to do, but it is putting the dignity and the value of other people ahead of my own desires. And Bill, I think a lot of people walk away from Christianity because it demands a lot of you. It demands that you die to yourself. It demands that you humble yourself. And, you know, we love pride. We love gluttony and greed and lust. And the Christian life is a life of character growth. So that's extremely important.
Ken Samples is my guest. Ken's a philosopher and theologian. He's a senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe. You can learn more about Ken at reasons.org. And we're going to be right back continuing our discussion. Is God good all the time? If you have an experience about surviving suffering in a way that God crafted your character in very real ways for you, I'd love for you to share it with us. 877-933-2484. Be right back with Ken.
It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold. Prime time, drive time, let's get it started. Jump in your car, yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold.
My guest is Ken Samples, and Ken is a senior research scholar at Reasons.org. And he has written a number of books, Christianity Cross-Examined, Classic Christian Thinkers, and God Among Sages. He also leads Reasons to Believe's Clear Thinking podcast and also writes Reflections, a weekly blog dedicated to exploring the Christian worldview. Ken has spoken all over the world, and we're just always glad when he can come on and talk to us here at Afternoons with me. I'm Bill Arnold, and if you are just joining me, we're talking about, is God good all the time? And we will have a tendency of maybe questioning that when our circumstances are not what we want them to be. But God gives us lots of promises to his children who are going through tough times. Ken, where do you go when you want to review those promises?
Well, I don't think that there is anything like Scripture. You know, in fact, Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox, they have differing ideas, but I think all of the conservative Christian traditions would say that Scripture has no peer. And when I go to Scripture, of course, then it leads me to prayer. It leads me, you know, to a time of reflection. And you know, I have had this recent illness that I had. I mean, I had on a daily basis. I felt like all my resources were like burned up. They were, you know, I was running on empty. And so I would go to these passages and read them and reread them. And, you know, I had a hard time sleeping. So I would recite these passages over and over. And, all I can tell you, Bill, is that the Lord brought me through it. Of course, had a great help from my wife and my children. They were amazing. They knew I was hurting, and they cared for me. But, you know, God's word is a remarkable thing. Faith comes by hearing the message about Christ. And so a time of reading of Scripture, a time of prayer, a time of repentance, and calling on the Lord.
And Ken, when we know that God is good, it really reminds us too that there's no evil in Him. His intentions and motivations are always going to be good. And you read Genesis chapter 1, and God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. So yeah. God has nothing but goodness in Him. There's no darkness in Him. God is light. So God's goodness is in His righteousness, in His character, And without any evil in him, we can come to him knowing he is completely good all the time. And if we focus on his character, I think that's the easiest way to say, yes, God is good all the time, versus evaluating God's goodness based on our circumstances.
Absolutely. I mean, our circumstances go up and down. They change. Our relationship with God doesn't change. He tells us again in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God is good all the time. God is morally good. There's no evil in the nature of God. God is not a creature. God doesn't have a sinful nature. God's goodness is seen in his love, his benevolence. And if God is allowing us to go through a difficult experience, he has a good reason for that. Because unlike human beings, he doesn't torture people. He doesn't cause them to suffer needlessly. And, you know, when I talk with my atheist friends, I tell them there's going to come a day when God's going to take all the broken straws and he's going to make them right. And God's going to ease the suffering. There'll be no more crying. There will be no more pain. And I think it's important to present a broad Christian worldview that God has a purpose for evil, but there's going to come a time when he will do away with it.
And Ken, let's talk about God's goodness in light of his plan to redeem us from sin. I mean, let's talk about the gospel. That's called good news. So in God's perfect and holy and righteous goodness, he sends Jesus as the perfect gift, the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. I don't know. You can't get more goodness than that.
That's exactly right. That's his generosity. I mean, I often say in prayer, Father, I know that you love me because you've given me the two greatest gifts. You've given me your Son, my Lord Jesus Christ, and you've given me your Holy Spirit, who is my helper and my counselor and my advocate. That shows God's goodness. When someone loves you, they give of themselves, they give their resources to you. You know, and if you think about our sinfulness, none of us have perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. None of us have loved God and our neighbor as ourselves throughout our life. All of us are given to sins like coveting and pride and various other sinful activities. So we couldn't earn salvation. God would be just if he were to punish us for our sins, but instead he offers salvation, and it comes through that extraordinary person. Jesus is extraordinary in his ability to teach. I mean, he's 12 years old, and he is conversing with these rabbis who have had extensive training in the Hebrew tradition. He heals. He's always looking for people who suffer. He touches the lepers. He cares for people who are down and out. I think of Houston Smith, the great world's religious teacher. He said that the difference between the gods of Mount Olympus, Zeus and Apollo, is they want to seduce the beautiful women, but the God of Sinai, he's looking out for the widows and the orphans and the people who are oppressed in life. Those are things we have to fill our minds and hearts with. And again, as you often say, our feelings are not always reliable. I might feel like, well, Lord, you know, it seems like I can't hear you right now. Well, to grow up, to mature, I have to realize that's what God wants for me, and he's not going to appear every time I need him like a genie. He is working in me so that I can be trusting in him and I can grow. And that's a very important, and I don't think, Bill, you can learn it except through some kind of pain or trial or difficulty. I think it's almost a necessary thing.
I would agree. Ken Samples is my guest. We're continuing our discussion on the goodness of God. Ken, when we come back, I want to ask you about Romans chapter 2, verse 4, and the goodness of God that leads to repentance. There's another dimension of God's goodness. We'll be right back with Ken Samples. If you have a question or comment, 877-933-2484. Hi there and welcome. If you are a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome packet gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. I'm back with Ken Samples. Ken is a philosopher and theologian. We're talking today about the goodness of God. And Ken, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about the goodness of God that leads to repentance. I'd love for you to talk about that.
Yeah, what's very powerful in Scripture is that God is the one who works in our life to show us the depth of our need. Scripture often talks about repentance toward sin, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace, the unmerited favor of God, God's goodness again. It comes through faith. Faith means trust, and it's not by works, but that saving grace always motivates repentance. It motivates doing works of loving obedience, or as Paul says, faith that works through love. This idea of repenting of sin, that is again God's goodness. God is never going to allow his children to feel comfortable in sin. He is always going to show us that to have a relationship with him, we have to be forgiven, and then we have to be open to his Spirit working in our life. And so you're exactly right. Repentance is a gift of God's goodness.
Mm-hmm. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, it says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. God is always good. He is always kind. He's always warm-hearted. I don't know if these are the right kinds of words I should be using, Ken, but there's a certain spirit to him that's humble, gentle, compassionate, sympathetic. And I think Paul talked about the Lord's kindness towards us and the goodness of God that should motivate us to be kind to other people, to be loving to other people, to serve one another.
That's right. Now, I think the words you're using there were quite appropriate, that you know, God makes his covenant with the Jewish people. They're stubborn. They push back. They go into idolatry. They do the very things he tells them not to do, but he has made a covenant with them. We are his covenant people as well. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have embraced Jesus as our Messiah, as the Son of God, and he is faithful to us. That is unlike any other situation. God doesn't have the limitations, the boundaries, the weaknesses that other people do. I often say, you know, I might let you down. Maybe your church will let you down, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he will not let you down. God is, and I love that idea of a covenant. God is committed to us. And again, I think he allows his children. I mean, I have three children. Certainly as their father, I always wanted to protect them. But I realized, you know what? They're going to have to go out into this world. They're going to have experiences. And I can't bail them out every single time. I've got to allow them to go through these issues and to realize that they can put their trust in God. And so I think you're exactly right. And lo and behold, this idea, God is good all the time. That might sound trite to somebody, but doesn't sound trite to me, particularly when people can be persecuted or even executed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So God's goodness, that's a necessary characteristic. That should be right at the heart of the way we think about God's character and his attributes.
Mm-hmm. Ken, another indicator of God's goodness, in my humble opinion, is that he is patient with sinners like me. And he wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth of the gospel.
He really is. I mean, there are times people challenge me and say, well, what about, Joshua and the Canaanites? Why is God so judgmental? And I remind them, well, the prophets of Israel were preaching to the Canaanites for 400 years. God is patient with us. And again, that is motivated by his goodness. And I like what you say. We want to show patience. We look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Well, that's exactly with God. God is patient. He's kind. He forgets our sin. A way of illustrating that as far as the east is from the west, so far your sins are apart from you. Wow, what an extraordinary message of God's goodness, his love, his mercy. I like to say grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve.
Mm-hmm. Ken, what does it mean to taste and see that the Lord is good? That's from Psalm 34, verse 8.
Yeah, that's another wonderful passage. God is good to us even when we don't even realize it. I mean, the air that we breathe, that comes from the Lord. The beats of our heart, they're finite in number. But the Lord is the one who is keeping us alive. He created us. The doctrine of creation says that God created all things, but then he holds all things in existence. The rain and the sunshine, that comes from God's goodness. The health that we have, the talents and abilities that we have, all of these things come from God's providential goodness and care. And that's another reason for thanking God and expanding your gratitude. Think of ways that God is working behind the scenes of your life.
Mm-hmm. And there's another verse, Ken, I know it from memory, but I haven't recited it in a while, and I want to just make sure I get it absolutely accurate. And that's Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, that says, "When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, Lord God Almighty."
Wow.
So you talk about taste and see, the Lord is good. Thy words were found,
absolutely,
and I did eat them.
Absolutely. You consume them. They become part of you. I think of the story of St. Augustine when he was on his deathbed. He had his servants write the penitential psalms on the ceiling so he could lie in his deathbed reciting the Psalms. I mean, God's word is this extraordinary power. It's inspired by his Spirit. It's infallible. It's inerrant. And I know you love scripture and you love the promises that God gives in these passages. And, that's another thing. We want to store up these things. When times are difficult, we want to be able to fall back on those passages we've memorized.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, just a closing thought that God is good because he has a plan to redeem us from sin. And if you have placed your faith in him and believed on his name, that you will be saved and believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth, I can't think of any more goodness that God would then be pouring upon you, adopting you into his family as a child of the King.
That's exactly right. We have many metaphors to think about salvation. One of them is adoption. We're sinners. We have broken away from God. We've been these rebellious teenagers. But God has not abandoned us. Mm-hmm. God has given us the ability to be adopted into the family of God.
Yeah.
To wash away our sin. That's God's goodness.
Yeah. Ken, once a month I get to hang with you, and you are a friend, and I just love being on the air with you, and thank you for your wisdom and your encouragement today.
My pleasure, Bill. I always enjoy being with you.
Thank you so much. Ken Samples has been my guest. You can learn more about Ken at reasons.org. Special thanks to Dr. Marcus Bachman and Ken Samples. Awesome guest today as we talked about God's goodness and pain and suffering. If you missed any of it, check it out at the podcast. Again, special welcome to our new friends in Billings, Montana. Have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.